Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Monday, October 12th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that is so glad those Travis Konecny rumors turned out to be nothing.
Oh, yes. I didn't believe them, but they did make me a little weary.
Yeah, but do not want Travis Konecny as trade bait. Thanks, Chuck. So to keep up with what is fact and what is fiction with the Flyers, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Flyers and send us mailbag questions or tell us how you're feeling about the Flyers offseason. You can also email us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. And it's about that time to get your mailbag questions in for Wednesday's episode, so send them in. We're your hosts. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Danielle.
And today we are going to talk about free agency, and I should say mostly ex-Flyers free agency news since we didn't have a ton of Flyers activity, but we'll get into that. Plus, we have some bonus content from our conversation with Scott Wheeler about the draft. And of course, it's Monday, so we'll have our nemesis of the week. Locked On Flyers is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. So subscribe to get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. So Danielle, we did not have a lot of Flyers activity on Free Agent Friday, and it was kind of weird. What did you think about it?
You know, I think overall I was happy that Chuck didn't do anything too crazy. But then I also was a little let down. Like, you know how you see all these other teams running around making crazy trades and signings. And so I felt a little left out. But I think overall, and we'll get into Chuck's comments, I mostly agree with him. So I was fine. A little bored, but fine.
Yeah, I think the main themes of the free agency period thus far has been, you know, the big goalie carousel, which we'll talk about, and it started off pretty slow and sort of got going a little bit throughout the day, but I think due to the flat cap was obviously a lot less than we're normally used to on the first day of free agency. And then lastly, the contract structures that were out there were really interesting because I think a lot of teams were structuring them to deal with the Seattle expansion next year. So while the average, you know, cap hits were pretty reasonable, the year two salaries were pretty high to try and discourage Seattle from taking those particular players.
Yeah, that was something that you brought up before we recorded, and you're right. I didn't even notice that at the time, but there are a lot of contracts that do increase right around the time that Seattle's supposed to be taking their pick of players. So that will be interesting. I also thought that there were a lot of deals that were a lot more reasonable in just term and like length. Because there's a lot of players that I think that are betting on themselves, hopefully in the next year or two, and the cap hopefully increases. So I thought that was interesting too. It was weird because there were some deals that were kind of like the deals you hear like people say like, oh yeah, only 2 years and like $8 million, and it's like $2 million this year and like $6 million the next or something like that, which normally we wouldn't see, but because of the flat cap, it was something we did see.
It's going to be an interesting coming year, considering for everything that we need to prepare for expansion. What the Flyers did do is make one minor signing. They signed Derek Pouliot as a free agent. He's most likely going to be replacing Andy Walensky on the Phantoms. And Pouliot's a really interesting player because he was a first-round draft pick from the Penguins in 2012, but really just hasn't panned out, per se. So he spent most of last season in the AHL with the San Antonio Rampage, which ironically does not exist anymore because of the AHL move to the Vegas area for their minor league team. But he got 39 points, 7 goals, and 32 assists in 58 games, which was 6th amongst all AHL defensemen.
Yeah, you're right. Puglia is just such an interesting case because he does well in the AHL, but it just, his game for some reason just does not translate in the NHL. And I feel for him because he did, after he left the Penguins, I think he was on with the Canucks, and I wanted to see him try to just, you know, change the scenery. Hopefully it sticks, but it didn't. But I do think this is a good addition to the Phantoms, and hopefully he could help out on the power play. I don't know if he'll be able to, but hopefully we can always cross our fingers.
Yeah. So Chuck Fletcher decided to have a news conference to say that they didn't do anything, which I thought was interesting in and of itself. But he made kind of two main points, the first of which was that, you know, making a big splash doesn't necessarily mean that you make your team better. There's a lot of things at play, given the flat cap, the expansion draft, and re-signing their own players. So, you know, that he always wants to try and make the team better, but if he feels like he can solve whatever issue internally, he'll do it that way. The second kind of point he made was that, you know, it would be ideal if the Flyers could find a good fit for the first pairing defenseman slot that Matt Niskanen's retirement caused, but he is open to a variety of options, but clearly does not want to overpay or overterm, you know, for somebody that, given the Flyers' defensive prospects, doesn't want to have to, like, keep them around too long.
Yeah, and I completely agree. I definitely like that he's thinking with the future in mind, because the Flyers are going to have to sign a couple of young guys coming up in the next couple of years. And, you know, tying up your money in the future for something that's right now just isn't a good idea. So I like that he's thinking that way. And you're right, especially with the defensive prospects we have coming up, you don't want to add a question, even more questions to the defense.
So around the NHL, we had, interestingly, a lot of ex-Flyers on the move and new ex-Flyers as well. Tyler Pitlick signed in Arizona on a 2-year deal. Derek Grant went back to Anaheim. Nate Thompson went to Winnipeg. Our old pal Wayne Simmonds signed with Toronto. Radko Gudas signed with Florida. Nick Cousins signed with Nashville. Zach Rinaldo re-signed with Calgary. And our old Phantoms favorites Kyle Crisciolo signed with Detroit. Mike Vecchione signed with the Avs. It just felt like all the ex-Flyers were signing deals. Was there any in particular that was made you happy or was disappointing? Or how'd you feel about all of that?
With these, I think I was more disappointed than happy. I am sad to see Simmonds go to Toronto just because he's an Angel and they don't deserve him. Tyler Pitlick was a little surprising. I thought the Flyers would find a way to keep him. And then Kyle Crisciolo, I just would have liked him to come back. I would just like to have him come back. But I don't know if the Flyers would be able to give him that two-way deal, like give him hope that he actually would make it into the NHL with us. So those were the ones that hurt the most for me.
Danielle, we've talked a lot on this show so far about free agency and the excitement of players signing in new places. And the Flyers didn't do much, obviously, but it's because they know that they're reliable. And Built Bars are that tasty, reliable protein bar and are good on their own. They have 18 amazing flavors, something for everyone there, and they have a new limited release strawberry flavor, which is so good.
Yeah, and the best part is that they're healthy. Built Bar is great if you're looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Somehow, they combine low calorie, low sugar with high protein and high fiber to come up with this delicious bar that is really good for everyone, even if you are on the keto diet. Built Bar has something for you.
And they have a special offer through today, October 12th, at builtbar.com for 12% off your order. And because it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, they partnered with 4 great organizations: Barbells for Boobs, Breast Cancer Angels, the Huntsman Cancer Institute, and Living Beyond Breast Cancer. Built will match your donation to those organizations up to $50 per order. Plus, they're giving 100% of the proceeds from the Built Bar Breast Cancer Awareness Hoodie to those four organizations to help support breast cancer patients and their families, which you can get for $19.95. So go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON for that 12% discount today and the donation match. That's promo code LOCKEDON at builtbar.com. So we've gotten to the point where we have to talk about something that's a little difficult for us, and that's erectile dysfunction. But we are talking about it, and while we aren't maybe the best people to talk to, the people at Roman are. Roman provides real healthcare professionals who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet.
With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. To get started, it's simple.
Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL. So before we get back into free agency talk, just a reminder that on tomorrow's show, we have an amazing conversation with Ryan Noble, who covers the Barry Colts, and he's going to tell us all about our first round draft pick, Tyson Forster. It was such a great conversation, and we cannot wait to bring it to you. So getting back into some of the free agency news, there were a lot of potential targets, especially at defense, that we've talked about on the show, and sort of the prognosticators were thinking the Flyers might go for that went other places. Danielle, were any of them especially disappointing for you or surprising to you?
None were surprising that the Flyers didn't try to get them. I was maybe a little bit surprised by Bobby Ryan, but just, I don't know if I would think that he's a good fit for the Flyers. But yeah, like, honestly, no. None of them really stuck out. A lot of the deals kind of spoke for themselves. I couldn't see the Flyers matching that. I just couldn't see any of the other players actually really fitting with the Flyers, so.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of smart for the Flyers to hold back on some of these. You know, Torrey Krug went to St. Louis on a 7-year deal, which that term just wasn't going to work for the Flyers. TJ Brody signed elsewhere, Tyson Barry, Miku Koivu, who was talked about as maybe a 4C stopgap, went to Columbus for 1.5, which I think is a little bit much for what the Flyers were looking for. Kevin Shattenkirk signed with the Ducks. You talked about Bobby Ryan. He signed with Detroit. Chris Tanev went to Calgary. I think that the only one that I thought might have been an option for the Flyers, except for the fact that they re-signed Justin Braun for that bottom pairing defenseman, is Trevor Van Riemsdyk, who went to the Caps for $800K, which is kind of a steal. But, you know, that being said, they did re-sign Justin Braun, which kind of fills that bottom pairing position.
Yeah.
So the other kind of big splashes within the free agency, I think the big one that would interest Flyers fans is Alex Pietrangelo. He went to Las Vegas on a tour, and so the Golden Knights seemed to be the most likely landing spot for him. Even though we kind of know that the Flyers weren't going to go after him, we could dream, right? And then Kevin Miller signed with Boston on what was a pretty good deal. Pat Maroon and Luke Shen decided to stay in Tampa. And Troy Stetcher signed with Detroit. I think the other big surprise was Tyler Johnson getting waived by Tampa. And that was in an attempt by them to clear cap space because they're in the worst position right now. And it makes me so happy that he cleared waivers and nobody took him, because it then forces Tampa to be in a really difficult position. And who doesn't want to do that to a Stanley Cup champion?
I was honestly surprised no one helped them out, because we saw a couple of teams help out other teams, and I just knew someone was going to help out Tampa. And there were like multiple teams interested in Tyler Johnson, but just literally their only reason why they didn't do anything is that no one wanted to help Tampa. And that's a pettiness I can get behind. I support that.
I think the other big petty news for us is Jack Johnson getting signed by the New York Rangers.
Like, oh my goodness. I said this to Rachel off before we recorded. It was just like, I want someone to believe in me as GMs believe in Jack Johnson. Like, I just want that because I can't believe, like, sure. Why not? Didn't work out in Columbus. They said why. Didn't work out in Pittsburgh. They look stupid. Go to New York. Why not? And didn't they just buy out Dan Girardi, but Mark Stahl. Didn't they buy out him?
And they replaced
him with Jack Johnson. Oh, you love this song.
You really do. It's always good to have a terrible defenseman on another team in your division. And then, of course, we had our goalie carousel continue. I thought that a couple of the landing spots were interesting, but a lot of them we kind of knew ahead of time. Henrik Lundqvist was long rumored to sign with the Capitals, and he did. I think we talked about it, but Matt Murray signed an extension in Ottawa after that trade. Anton Khudobin stayed with Dallas on a new deal. But then the rest was kind of interesting. Jacob Markstrom went from Vancouver to Calgary. Corey Crawford went from Chicago to the Devils. Thomas Greiss went from the Islanders to Detroit. Braden Holtby went from the Caps to Vancouver. And Cam Talbot went from Calgary to the Wild. I'm going to need a chart.
Yeah, that... Oh, my goodness. And it just seemed like... I mean, this isn't specific to the goalie, but, I mean, it seemed like Calgary just took everyone from Vancouver.
I don't know. I know. But it's very weird with that in-division stuff in the Pacific.
Yeah, it was very weird. But it's going to take some getting used to seeing all these goalies from one division move to a different team in another division or in the same division. Yeah, I actually really liked the Holtby in Vancouver. I thought the deal was fair. It was low term, so that, you know, they can ease Thatcher in to a starting role. So yeah, that was like probably the best goalie move, I think.
Yeah, and you know, looking at the Flyers goaltending, I think that, you know, we talked a little bit about potentially upgrading the backup spot, but the Flyers obviously re-signed Brian Elliott at 1.5, which turned out to be a great move because potentially the only kind of upgrade to that backup position that was out there is Thomas Greiss, and he got a deal in Detroit like a starter. So, like, that wouldn't have worked within the Flyers cap. So it just seems like Chuck made the right move in retrospect after seeing how all this played out.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
So, like we said at the top of the show, we have some additional content from our conversation with Scott Wheeler. We got into, you know, the Flyers overall and how their drafting and prospect system looks. And we got some additional information on Connor McLennan, our sixth round draft pick.
Moving on to Connor McLennan, many people had him projected in the top 100. However, yeah, the Flyers snagged him at 178th overall. Is the biggest concern his size, or is there something else about his game that should concern Flyers fans?
Well, I think the two concerns is obviously that he's very small, even small by today's NHL forward standards. And I think forwards are getting smaller at a quicker pace than defensemen. So that helps him more than it helps a player like Emil Andre. But beyond that, I think the big concern is just that he never really met expectations until late this season. This is a kid who was a second overall pick into the WHL. He was an absolute star and one of the kids that was talked about 3 or 4 years ago in the very early analysis of this draft class as a kid who was going to be a first round pick. And it just never really materialized. He had an excellent showing at the under-17 Worlds, where he was the best player for Team Canada. But that was a year and a half ago now, and it's taken him some time in the WHL with the Winnipeg Ice to really become the number one go-to offensive player that he has to be at 5'9". He's not going to make it as a checker. So I think there's a boomer bust element to Connor McLennan, but I still think they got tremendous value in him. I was happy to slot him at number 49 on my board. I didn't really have a ton of hesitation in believing that he was a worthwhile second round pick. So I think they got him a little bit later than that. And obviously I think there's value there, but I do think in the second half of last season, he did start to show that talent that we all know that he has in terms of his ability to really just have the puck on his stick at all times, play give and go when he has to, but really just play through layers, play through pressure, play through contact as a smaller player to spin off checks and keep plays alive and make those sort of high skill NHL quality plays that not a lot of forwards in the WHL can make at his age. So the expectation I have for him is that he's finally turned that corner. He's finally got confident and aggressive enough. And then the rest, I hope, is history, a lot like I think it is for Tyson Forster, in that I think he's got a chance to be that kind of 90-100 point player in the WHL. And then you go from there and suddenly he's an interesting prospect who was taken late.
So would you say that Connor is the biggest steal for the Flyers, or do you think one of the other picks was more of a good deal, so to speak?
I think he's got the potential to be. I think Andre probably fits into that group as well. Zaid was probably taken in the right range, and I think the same could be said for Tyson. So I think in terms of value, in terms of potentially getting more than what you would typically get out of that kind of a pick, certainly Andre, I think, has the potential to have that kind of value. And then if McLennan isn't right there, then he's probably not far behind.
One thing Rachel and I like to do is to look at prospects we got maybe a little too attached with and they are on other teams now. But is there a prospect that you thought was a perfect fit for the Flyers that they maybe didn't have the opportunity to draft or maybe went over?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I don't know whether there's a specific player that really comes to mind as kind of the natural fit for the Flyers. When I looked at the way that this draft class was trending in terms of the top of the board and the way that they've gone in taking players like Morgan Frost in recent years, players who are, again, maybe weren't good skaters at the time, but weren't the best skaters and then have made major progress now. Obviously, Frost skating has become an asset for him. They did take two players who kind of fit that mold as we touched on earlier with Tyson and Emil. And there were a couple of other players in this draft that I think kind of fit that mold in terms of players that they think that I think the Flyers could have sort of tapped into a little bit more. William Wallander was a player that came to mind as someone who I thought they might consider. They've gone the William Wallander route, if you will, with players like Myers, players like Travis Sanheim. So Wallander is a kid who the Red Wings took early in the second round, so they didn't really have an opportunity to take him after they'd already taken Forster. But I think if Wallander had been available at the Andre pick per se, that he might have been an even better fit just in terms of that big long defender who can really skate and who has untapped offensive potential. And we've seen them get the most out of literally that exact type of player before. So that's the kind of player that I think heading into the draft, I expected they might target, maybe even with that late first, but it probably would have been a little bit too high, and I'm not sure that he would have been a better pick than Forster there. So I don't know. I would probably have to think on that a little bit more to come up with someone other than Wallander.
Yeah, I heard the, you know, announcers on the broadcast talking about Wallander after the pick, and I thought he seemed like a really interesting prospect. Mm-hmm. I'll definitely keep an eye on him for sure. So the Metro Division is kind of a logjam right now, and it seems to be super lucky in terms of getting first overalls in the lottery. And, you know, the Rangers and the Devils recently have gotten those number one picks. And you talked about Carolina having such a great draft the last few years. Do you think the Flyers are still among the top group in the division in terms of the prospect pool?
I do, yeah. One of the things that the Flyers have done so well in terms of building towards the contending window that they're in now is that they still have a lot coming. Yegor Zamula is a find. He's a special player. He's the kind of player that every other team in the league wishes they'd taken a chance on when they had the chance to, which everyone did. and you go down the list, I think Cam York, despite having a year that maybe didn't exceed expectations, I don't think he had a bad year, which I think it has been characterized a little too often as. You go down the board, Morgan Frost is still going to be a really good player. They did excellent at the draft this year again. There are some real pieces there that I think that they can continue to work with over the course of, I don't know, the next 3, 4, or 5 years as all of those kids kind of come into their own eventually. So I'm a big fan of what they've done. I think York, Frost, and Zamula in particular are all really fun. Bobby Brink is one of my favorite prospects in hockey, and it was a kid who I had ranked in the middle of the first round and I thought was one of the best picks of a year ago. Another kid kind of like Frost and kind of like the players they've targeted this year who maybe do some things really well and have other areas to work on. But again, one of those kids in Brink that it just got to the point in the draft last year where it felt like you couldn't pass up on him any longer. And the Flyers, I think, smartly sort of took the chance. So all four of those kids are really good prospects, legitimately great prospects, and would be number one or number two prospects in just about any organization. So to have the bulk in numbers and the depth in numbers is a really big deal. And certainly they don't have a Quentin Byfield or an Alexi Lafreniere or a Cole Perfetti coming, but they've got depth in numbers and quality prospects that I think all have a chance of factoring into the future. So they've done a really good job. I think a lot of the teams that are in a contending window right now are about to hit a cliff. The Pittsburgh Penguins, the Boston Bruins, they just do not have a lot coming. They've mortgaged their future. The Washington Capitals are the same way. That their prospect pools are really thin. And I think that the Flyers are as good, if not better, positioned as an actual NHL franchise, and then they've definitely got considerably stronger depth in the prospect pool. So it's a tidy bit of work that they've done over the last few years to remain competitive without having traded away all of their picks.
So we'd once again like to thank Scott Wheeler for coming on the show. Lots of good stuff. If you didn't hear the first part of the interview, go back and listen to Friday's episode. And with that, it's time for our nemesis of the week. For those that might be newer to the program, each Monday we try to identify who or what in hockey is our nemesis for the upcoming week. And last week we talked about fake trade bots and making sure you look for that check mark in terms of rumors and whatnot. I think this week it's free agency FOMO. With the Flyers doing nothing, you know, it's hard not to feel jealous about other teams that have new players to get excited about and dig into the stats and all of that. And we're just sitting here twiddling our thumbs with, you know, a great young core. So there you go.
Yeah, definitely. There was a quote from Chuck saying that there were some contracts that they were bad, that they gave out that they were just bad. So I definitely agree with him on that. But there were some little steals that some teams got, and A little upset the Flyers couldn't manage that. But, you know, like Rachel said, we have a good young core and we have a ton of really good prospects coming up. So we're getting a little greedy.
Yeah. So thanks for listening to today's show. We will be back again tomorrow, like I said, with our conversation with Ryan Noble, who covers Barry and our top draft pick, Tyson Forrester. As a reminder, we want to hear from you. Send us in your mailbag questions or general Flyers thoughts via Twitter at LockedOnFlyers, or you can email us at LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com.
I'm Danielle, and you can find me on Twitter at Danielle_Nick. That's Danielle_NICC.
And I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at RMiriam. That's RMiriam. Now listen to the most recent episode of Locked On NHL and have a great day.